Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, my name is Kevin Cadigan, and this is Bridge the Atlantic.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as Electric Kiwi.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcy Novelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name or my side project, Midnight Soundtrack, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists. Speaking of which, if you'd like me to work on your next song, EP, or album, I'm currently taking submissions, so get in touch. You can connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, and Patreon, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
And we are on Patreon too, and we've got lots of exciting stuff to share with you on there. You can support us from as little as a dollar per episode, and in exchange, you get some patron-only exclusives. We have just upgraded some things over there, so head on over and check it out.
Yeah, perks include early access to content, sponsored ads at the start and end of our shows, as well as your chance to co-host an episode alongside Ross and I, your two favorite co-hosts, of course. But most importantly, you'll be directly enabling us to keep bringing you weekly interviews with interesting people, which is the goal of doing this show. And we just want to spread knowledge about music and in the entertainment industries and help each other out, because that's really what it's all about. And that's what Ross and I are incredibly passionate about.
And speaking of helping each other out, we want to help keep you warm, keep you clothed with official BTA shirts. They are available to purchase on our website. They look great on you. And
we know it.
All proceeds go into helping us keep the lights on here at Bridge the Atlantic. There's a link to get them in our show notes. And if you use the coupon code BTA Rocks, you receive 10% off your purchase as our little way of saying thank you.
Gracias. And finally, I'm recording my second solo album, and I kindly invite you to help make it a reality. You can contribute to my crowdfunding campaign on Pledge Music by going to marcionovelli.com/pledge. No amount is too small. I truly appreciate your support and anything that you can help me out with. Everyone who pledges receives an immediate free download of my new acoustic EP, The Reimagining Volume 1, just as a thank you from me to you for being awesome. I hope you check it out, and thank you so much.
Our guest this week is Kevin Cadigan out of Berkeley, California. Kevin is a founding member of Third Eye Blind and performed with the band from 1993 to 2000. He co-wrote some of the band's most notable hits, including How's It Gonna Be, Losing a Whole Year, and Graduate.
Since parting ways with Third Eye Blind, Kevin has released solo material and has also began touring with XEB, a band made up of ex-Third Eye Blind members. We're looking forward to hearing more about Kevin's experience in the music industry, what he's up to now, and the advice he'd offer to his fellow musicians. So, welcome to the show, Kevin. Well, let's get awkward and have you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
I'm a dual citizen. I'm a dual citizen with Ireland. I'm an Irish citizen.
No way.
And an American citizen. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So, like, for all those rad European bands that were thinking of working with me, but didn't want to have to wait for the American in customs, you know, taking a long time, I can just go right through with you guys. So
that's awesome.
Dual citizen. What else? I have three beautiful daughters and a wife that I love. I love being a dad. And, gosh, I think I'm an optimist. I try to be optimistic about the future, and mostly I am. It's a struggle these days to be optimistic, but, there's a lot to be optimistic about. I think this century is going to be an amazing one. And, you know, I love pondering those things.
Well, hopefully we can help bring some optimism today to you and everyone tuning into the show. Some of the songs you co-wrote, I'm just going to go right to it before we even really dig into the interview, were pretty much the soundtrack to my youth. Just letting you know, love all those tunes, love your contributions to it. And we're excited to chat with you today. We really are.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. That's a great idea. I love what you guys are doing. I'm kind of new to finding out about you guys, but I watched a few videos.
Don't worry, most people are new to finding out about us. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're ahead of the curve. You've already tried Hudson interviews.
I know.
Most people are new finding about me as well, so we're good.
Cool. Well, I'd like to jump in and talk a little bit about Third Eye Blind. As we mentioned in the intro, you had numerous commercial hits with the band, and it was the largest recording deal ever for an unsigned artist in 1996. I don't know if it still is, but at the time it was. How did you handle that so early in your career? And in hindsight, do you think that was the best route for you guys to take?
I don't know if it was the biggest recording. I know that that's been reported, but I think that's probably bullshit. I think that it was the Guns N' Roses had a huge record deal. I don't think we approached even close to that. I think it was like 1.2 million for the total thing, including when videos cost $300,000 to make. I mean, we actually literally made a dumb video for $300,000. So it was a different world back then. The money, with those kinds of numbers that were required for just the back end stuff, like the video production, there really wasn't that much. I mean, I swear it was, I think we each got like $7,000 or something. And I took my girlfriend on a bike riding trip to Amsterdam, and that was like the big thing. And then after that, it was $2,000, sort of a stipend that we lived on while making the record. Although we didn't do the record, we were pretty frugal about it. We did do some extravagant things, like go to Lucas Skywalker Ranch, yeah. And tracked in a beautiful concert hall there. And, so that was kind of an extravagant thing. But overall, the money was saved and used for touring. We toured for many, many years. And so it wasn't something that I was really conscious of, like, oh, this is, I'm suddenly rich now. I mean, I didn't get that feeling at all. I knew that we had a great shot, and that there were people behind us, and that it was an exciting time for sure. But, I just was focused on making the record. And, I think that maybe if we all were handed like $200,000 or something, it might have been, maybe it wouldn't have been, it would have changed the vibe of the recording process. And so in a way it was good to sort of maintain that feeling of being broke, it's a sort of a continuation of what got us there in the first place.
I think
place.
It's amazing because the people's perception of it and what actually the reality of it is just so opposite, I guess you probably had people thinking that you were millionaire rock stars right off the bat.
Oh, well, with my friends, it's like, if you could afford the 12 pack of Top Ramen, you're like, oh, get out of here, you rock star.
Who do you think you are?
What I mean? So, yeah, exactly. Who do you think this guy is now? He's got the different flavors. He's got the French onion. Now he's doing this.
Bastard.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So it didn't take much to get people to hate you and envy you. You know what I mean?
And yet you're still struggling,
like a bike riding,
of course.
Yeah, a plane ticket to Amsterdam. It's like, fuck him. So.
Well, you parted ways with Third Eye Blind in 2000. It sounds like a lot of it was down to legal issues. Feel free to speak about any of that. Feel free not to. It's completely up to you. But what we do want to know, regardless of what you want to divulge, what did you learn from the experience?
What did I learn from it? Okay, so just backing up, it was about business, actually. I mean, it was about the ownership of the name, and I disagreed with the idea that one person should own the band name. I felt the band should own the band name, and that those splits could go be negotiated, but there was a lot. There's a lot of numbers between 0 and 100, and my philosophy was that 0 was probably too much down on this end of the scale, and zero would be over here, 100 over here, something over here.
Something fair.
Yeah, well, okay. So it was a difficult position to be in, learning those things, learning more about, you know, how things were set up as a corporation and that. It's the last thing you want to think about when you're, you know, making a record and you're having success in other areas. I was really fortunate. The one thing that really saved me was publishing, getting the, actually mailing in the for the envelopes. Back then, you couldn't do anything online, so you had to literally mail in your copyright forms from the government. And that single act right there is the thing that protected me the most from musical industry predators, really. That was the single most important thing that I ever did, was copyright my stuff. And so aside from that, you know, that was the important takeaway.
So was a lot of this from outside influence, or did a lot of this come from within the band? How much was, you know, outside kind of people influencing the members of the band and kind of completely messing with the jive that you guys already had going on?
Right. Well, the manager and the singer were very close friends. The manager had started off being an investor in the band, and through court documents, when Steven, the singer, sued his best friend, the manager, later, years later, you know, it came out that the manager was actually ghostwriting a lot of lyrics too. So, you know, there was a tight relationship between them. I think, you know, from the manager's perspective, he wanted to kind of thought it'd be easier to be able to control one person than have it be multiple people, which, you know, makes sense. And I think a lot of people would like, if you look at it from the perspective of just managing things, you know, it's easier to just manage one person if they're in control of everything than managing multiple people. But I think, you know, the outcome didn't end up being as good as it could have been if everyone was sort of more fairly given equity, even though it may have been short term easier to sort of make some of the decisions. I think that some of the decisions ended up not being the best ones.
For who?
Even though they were made alone, for everybody, for himself even.
Really?
Yeah. Well, certainly he ended up in a lawsuit with his best friend. So,
oh, true.
You know.
Absolutely.
You know.
Is there any animosity? You know, we're going to move on from Third Eye Blind here, but, you know, just is there any animosity? Have you guys had a chance to kind of let bygones be bygones? Or, you know, what kind of situation are you right now and the rest of the ex-members of Third Eye Blind with the current members of Third Eye Blind?
Well, what's really exciting is I've reunited with, like, as you pointed out, some other members of the band, and one of them being one of the composers and bass player, Ryan Salazar, the other being Tony Fredinelli. I actually ran into Ryan Salazar at the DMV of all places. So we had not talked. I mean, we hadn't talked for probably, I don't know, it was about 11 years, 12 years. And then we ran into each other just randomly at the DMV. Do you guys have a DMV or something similar to that?
Something
the
similar,
Department
yeah.
of Motor Vehicles?
Oh, yeah. Something
okay.
similar,
what's it
yeah.
called where you're at?
I don't even know where it's called. What it's called.
Here is
know?
The DVLA.
The DVLA.
I don't
well,
know what the DVLA
nice.
Stands for, but
it sounds
that's what it's
so,
called. But I mean, I guess pleasant. The DMV probably never thought that their tagline would be bringing people together. Like
yeah.
that's,
exactly.
That's
yeah.
So, I mean, obviously,
should
yeah, so,
it should be.
So you are, you know, you're in a group with ex-members of Third Eye Blind,
right,
now,
so, XEB. So we got together, and, you know, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of this album, the debut album being released. Okay, so what happened was I was asked by a guitar player to do a little retrospective podcast on the record. And I hadn't played this stuff in forever, so I picked up a guitar and was learning it, and went and did this really fun podcast. And the you know, people in the band heard it and contacted me. I got a really nice letter from Ryan, and you know, so we just decided to reconnect, and we thought, well, it'd be fun just to go out and play our music again, you know. Let's just see how that works. It won't be the entire band, but the band that's not the entire band is doing it. So, well, they actually weren't playing the entire album at that time, but we thought it would be a fun idea, a fun thing to do. And since I had already spent all this time relearning my stuff for this guitar player podcast, I thought, well, I don't want to let all this shit knowledge go to waste. So let's start playing it. And we just, you know, we couldn't find anyone in the music industry to really help. I mean, we didn't really go asking too much, but we thought, well, let's just just rent out some place and sell tickets on Eventbrite. And we totally did all this ourselves and just, you know, people came. They flew across the country. They flew from, you know, Europe and stuff to come see us play in this little weird, like, converted auto body shop place that we rented. I mean, it was just like the most DIY thing you could ever imagine, be like a keg of beer, you know? And I'm not even joking. And so we did that, and it was just a lot of fun. And then the Tony Fretinelli guy, who was another member for a very brief period of time, Third Eye Blind, like in 1993, was a five-piece. Mm-hmm. And then he left like after a couple of weeks and came back in 2000, and sort of this bitter, ironic thing in my life that happened that was brutal back then. But now it's kind of, you know, we're sharing a good laugh about it, which is great. I love outcomes like that. All's well that ends well, right? So for us, that's kind of how it is. It's an all's well that ends well thing. And we've completed like a little tour on the East Coast last in May, and we're doing another one in September, and, you know, so we're just having a lot of fun.
What can people expect from your shows, from your live shows?
Well, they can expect to hear the debut album, like, just played by the people that recorded it and helped create it, and that's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely. Are you ready for 20 questions?
Are we already there? Are we doing the 20 question thing?
We're there.
It's okay. We're not done. But we're there.
Okay. All right.
You ready?
Sure.
No. Coffee or tea?
Okay. Coffee.
Meat coffee. Or veggies?
Okay. I'll go with veggies. Not the honest answer, but it's the right one.
It wins my heart. Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Indie or major?
Indie.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt.
Education yogurt. Or experience?
I sound so resigned. Like, yogurt, fine.
Fine, yogurt. Education or experience?
Experience.
Marvel or DC?
God, man, you guys got me on that one. Marvel? I don't know. Marvel.
Seemed like a question. Canada or Scotland?
I don't know the difference. It's a tough one, right? Canada, they're our neighbors.
That's right. You guys don't know a lot of touring around here.
But we are Ireland's neighbors.
Yeah,
so,
well.
You know.
Oh, shit, you're right. Mm. Okay, Scotland, never mind. Bye.
Oh, no more Canada. Come on.
These are mean questions. These are divisive. These are meant to come together here. We need to get the DMV in here.
Okay. Wait,
I know, they'll bring us together. Talent or attitude?
I like talent, you know, go with talent.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Lennon or McCartney?
Lennon.
Ghosts or aliens?
Aliens.
Hmm. Do you believe in aliens? Conspiracy.
I don't believe in ghosts either, so.
We're not judging
Batman
you. We're not judging you.
Or Superman.
Batman.
Vampires Batman? Or zombies?
Zombies. No, vampires. Vampires.
Okay.
Vampires. Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Or Michael Bolton?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. That's so easy. Michael Jackson.
I thought he was going to say that's so easy. It's the Bolt.
I wish. I'm still dreaming for that day. Whale or kale?
Whale or kale? Kale. Whales, there's not something to eat.
No. Right? Maybe this is something you eat. It's just the
this
concept.
This one's very open to interpretation.
Just a concept. Of whale or kale. Just in general.
It just made me think of like eating a whale or something.
Ugh.
Kale. Yeah, that's terrible.
Ugh. Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Sick minds. Celine Dion or what?
Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson. Way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And similarly, Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Kind of similarly.
The Riddler. Yeah.
And your final question is...
Okay.
Ross or Marcio?
That's so not right. No, I can't do that. That's not. I don't even... I mean, we're getting to know each other. We have to spend more time with the DMV.
I know.
We'll see how that works.
Okay. Okay.
We'll take that.
Usually Ross asks this question, and we have this theory that Ross gets picked about 90% of the time. 90% of the time? Maybe 91% of the time?
No, not as much.
And the theory is that it's because he's the one who asks it. That's at least my theory and my hope.
You know what? And wait, who
but
asked
I asked,
it this
I asked
time?
It today,
asked
and no one was picked.
Well, my inclination was to say you, because you're right. Like, whoever asked the question, you want to sort of appease them and make them feel
good. Ross, we're going to have to switch that. We're going to have to switch this up every week.
But it is a brutal question.
It is, I know.
It's a brutal question.
You know what? And it was my idea, and Ross was completely opposed to it originally, and I insisted on it, and now I regret it. Anyways, moving on.
But you shouldn't regret it because I picked you. I mean, after I said I wasn't going to pick anybody, I said I would have picked you.
Oh.
Because you said it first.
That's kind of like one of those romantic things, like, it would have been you went away in slow
Ross isn't saying anything, so it's like, why would I pick
Ross
him?
Ross is imagining this scene with Michael Bolton playing in the background.
It would have been you.
And Michael Jackson going, how am I supposed to live without you? And it's amazing, and I'm loving this scene so much. That's where I'm going to live from now on, is in that scene.
That's good.
We need some advice in those awesome people that are tuning into this need your advice. Okay, based on your experience in the music industry, what would you tell other musicians who want to make a living as part of a band? Is there one piece of advice that you'd advise them to do early on in their career before there are lawsuits?
since I did have some unique. I mean, hopefully they were unique, sort of contractual trickery and business trickery done to me. I really hope no one goes through that or has to deal with those same things. So I think, you know, I don't think it probably comes up very often, but, you know, you want to make sure if you're a band that band members, people involved in the creative process have equity in the band. And so that can be done sooner rather than later. You want to make sure you do that. The making a living part, it's like, you know, the cliche about the destination being, being about the journey, not the destination. That cliche, I think, is you've got to hold on to that one, because the destination that you're hoping for in this game is a difficult one. And I know that, you know, for me, being in your early 20s and being out there, knowing what you're up against, it's crushing. You know, it can be really crushing when people, you know, we played little clubs and no one gave a shit, you know, about what we were doing. And it wasn't just an instant, like, here's the biggest record deal that's ever been signed kind of thing. You know, it was a while of just sort of like, you know, people not caring. And so just persistence is also obviously a key. You know, with the tools that you guys have now, I mean, like doing what you guys are doing, the podcast, getting an electric skateboard and starting a vlog like the Casey Neistat guy, I mean, that's amazing. You have all these tools to promote your band. I would say stay in control of the your most important asset, which is the name, whatever you're doing, the trademark, okay, and all of your social media related to that, because that's what's going to be how people communicate through the rest of the world. No one's going to care about you guys individually in the band. They're only going to care about the band name, even though you might think that you're amazing in your own ways. So be very careful about the trademark and the band name. And
That's something I've never really thought about before. That is so well put and so powerful, I think, coming from you who's experienced this whole thing. At the end of the day, as a band gets successful, it's the brand, right?
Right,
I really care about the brand, the name, because that's what's going to sell a record rather than who's in the band.
Yeah, and it's been proven, I mean, whether it's this, and you would think, well, no, it's the singer. Well, no, the singer could go. Anyone's expendable about the name. And that's really, that's been proven with bands that have lost the singers and kept the name, and bands that have lost the, you know,
well,
whatever,
and members of bands, guitar players, like, you know, especially the singers going off to do solo projects that aren't successful, you know, and it's still that singer that, you know, it's interesting because it's, well, people are still paying attention to that name. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, where's the best place for people to connect with you online?
Okay. So Facebook is really good. I've been communicating with a lot of fans on Facebook and people that have messaged me and such. I'm also on Twitter. So, and I think I'm like Kevin Cadigan 1 on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter too. That's Kevin Cadigan.
Perfect.
And official XEB is the Facebook for the XEB band. So
perfect.
You know, we'll see how it goes. We do have plans to actually record and make live music. We reconnected with some of the people involved with the production of the first record. Not Eric Valentine, but I mean, people that were around that, and maybe at his studio. We might do some stuff at Eric Valentine's studio. But
we're excited about that, and definitely we want to share that with everyone. So let us know when that's happening, and we'll have you back on to talk about that.
And as for us, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, and YouTube. Visit our website and pick up one of our shirts while you're there too.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, I'm currently working on my second solo album. You can be part of it at marcianovelli.com/pledge. When you support my new album, you also get a free download of my acoustic EP, The Reimagining Volume 1, as a thank you for being awesome, like I said earlier. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as Spotify and Patreon, which are all my name, Marcio Novelli.
Don't wear it out. And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment, and you can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by the wonderful 30 Roses, a virtual assistant and consultant to musicians and other creatives, as well as Chris Keaton, Music Entrepreneur HQ, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out, because what do they do, Ross?
They keep the show alive. And if you would like to sponsor the show, visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. As we mentioned earlier, we've recently updated our rewards, which now include sponsorship at the start of our interviews, as well as an opportunity for you to co-host an episode. And please do also make sure to subscribe on YouTube and iTunes so you don't miss any episodes, and leave us a comment and let us know what you think of the show.
Absolutely. Kevin, this has been an absolute pleasure.
This is so much fun, guys. Thanks. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, we appreciate you.
You're awesome. And this is just an awesome circle here, you know, or triangle maybe, because there's three of us, but you know.
Thanks, guys.
Who cares? Shapes are just shapes.
Come back again soon, right. Okay?
Okay. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.